Hello and welcome to Coffee Cup Tarot, a podcast about the storytelling aspect of tarot and developing an intuitive understanding to the messages they reveal. I'm your host, Marcella Cadill. You can follow me on Instagram at Coffee Cup Tarot Reader, or you can book a reading directly with me at www.coffeecuptarot.com. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Train is going by as soon as we hit record. So we're going to do the moon and the sun as like a combo again. Because why not?
Yeah, they both are planetary bodies.
Yeah. Do you have a preference between the two? If it was like in a reading for somebody?
I mean, I feel like definitely the sun is like the happiest one. The moon is a little bit more intense. I think of these cards like astrologically as well.
Uh-huh.
And the meanings between what the sun represents in somebody's chart and what the moon represents. The moon is way deeper and subconscious.
Does that work with astrology too? Because I've always thought that the moon was like your outer and your sun was your inner.
No, it's basically opposite of that. The sun, yes, it's who you are at your core, but that's like the moon will take you way deeper into the depths of your psyche and emotionality. So when you have somebody's sun, moon, and rising, your rising is the vibe you get when you first meet them. Then when you get to know them, you see their sun, but it's the really deep soul connections that you see them with their moon.
Wait, what's your moon?
Gemini. Do you see me as a
Gemini? Wait, okay, so wait, you're a Gemini and you're a Scorpio Sag cusp?
Yes. Well, yes. And my rising sign is Gemini Cancer cusp. So people first meet me, they're confused. People get to know me, they're confused.
Maybe that's why it took so long to like you.
Oh, yeah.
Someone asked me how, they were like, how do you know Aisha? Like, I've been listening to your podcast and you never said. And I was like, wow.
Because it's confusing.
Well, I actually don't know how long we've been friends.
Because we have no memory of our friendship for the first few years of it.
Yeah, just one day we're just hanging out. And then we're roommates and we're like, wait a second.
How did we get here?
Maybe we like timeline jump.
We had to have at some point.
I remember eating at El Cerro Grande.
Me too, but why did we do that?
Don't know.
I feel like we had like a weekly dinner.
I think we might have. Because we went a few times.
Yeah.
I don't know. Guys, it's really weird. Like, we met at a Froyo bar that no longer exists.
We worked there together.
Yeah, we worked there, and
I was evil.
We were both so negative. Aisha was just the biggest biatch, because she was, like, trying to be the manager or something.
Trying to be. I was the assistant manager of employees, Marcel. I had a responsibility.
I know, and you always set me with... And he was stealing money out of the register, and had there not been cameras, I would have been fired because I was not stealing.
Oh my gosh. I remember going over that camera footage, just hours worth of footage to try to catch him.
And she would always schedule me with because she did not like either one of us. And I think it was a racist because we're both Latina.
Not at all. It was because I loved working with because we always got out like in 3 minutes of the cleanup at the end of the night.
Yeah, and but
you guys,
I had to do everything.
Exactly. But you guys, I didn't have to worry about it. When you guys worked together, then I didn't have to work.
But as you see, I did not like her. And then looking like something happened and we just became friends. And now we're like best friends. So
we have no idea.
Doesn't make sense. Well, my rising and my sun are both Pisces and my moon is Aries, and I feel like I connect more to Aries than Pisces lately, and I don't know why.
Interesting.
Because growing up, I was like 100% inside and sad, and now I'm like, ah!
I really love that combination of energy I've noticed. In all my favorite people's charts, there's strong Pisces and Aries influence. Hmm. I think it's because my sister and I were talking about it, how Pisces is like the wise, intuitive, empathetic, old soul. And Aries has that childlike, imaginative, but naive, innocent quality to it because it's a baby.
Mm.
And so I think I really vibe with that, having this wild imagination, but also incorporating your soul's wisdom into the way that you see the world. I think it's a good thing to have those energies together.
I like that. I noticed that most of my friends they have like some kind of version of Gemini in their chart.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the mutable signs, Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, I think we're all very, for the most part, probably the most open because we're the most impressionable and we can change the most. Like having that flexible energy, I think I connect most with other mutable signs.
Yeah.
I don't like rigid thinking or...
Like Taurus. Sorry, Taurus.
No offense, but...
It's just a lot of energy that I don't understand. Okay, so let's start with the moon. So at a first glance, what do you think? What do you see?
I mean, it's weird because there are two different vibes in my Rider-Waite versus my Robin Wood. The Rider-Waite deck is... I'm confused why it has the sun on it.
Oh, like, I have a reason.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, so the moon is not a light. The moon's light comes from the sun, and it's a reflection, which is all about kind of what I see with this card. Like, it's half moon, half sun. It's like a half-truth, like the reflection of yourself, projections, and all that.
Mm. Okay, mm-hmm. I can see that. My Robin Wood is, and my Archaon are way darker, and it's like a night sky, and they have the moon, and different phases of the moon. And they have the two dogs, but they don't have the little lobster guy.
According to Miss Pollock here, she thinks that it's, I thought it was a lobster too, but she likes the idea that it's a crab to represent Cancer.
See, that's what I would instinctively think, but that's very clearly a lobster.
Yeah, exactly. And then she says, well, it could also be like a crawdad or a crayfish, depending what part of the country you're from, because it's found in like freshwater. And so it's more intimate and, like, personal than an ocean. I thought that was interesting, but other than that, I have no idea why that's there.
The path?
Yes.
Going into the ocean, is that? Or is that up mountains?
It's both. So it's, like, the unconscious to the mountains, which is, like, higher consciousness. Mm. So you're, like, still going down the path, which, in my impression tarot, it has the path, but it's just, like, so boring because it's just, like, two trees. But in my light seers, it's like a girl is drowning in the water.
Like
and
that.
I love this because it's like if you're at nighttime and you're in the water, your only source of light is the moon. So you can't really tell up from down, you know? And so you're just like, how do you know? You have to like intuitively feel which way is up. That's kind of how I interpret that card.
Huh.
Or that drawing, I guess.
Yeah. It stands for secrets too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what sticks out to me most in a lot of readings when this card comes up. Even more than their subconscious and emotions, it represents secrets. Maybe deception.
I also get like insecurities.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, I pulled this card for somebody and it was something that she's hiding from herself. So I thought that was really cool how it was like the juxtaposition between hiding and it being the moon. Like, you need to face this. And it was, for me, for her, it was insecurities.
Yeah.
I also have repetitive patterns or cycles because of cycles, like the phase of the moon.
That's how my, the Archaon Tarot deck has all the different phases of the moon as the border. And...
Which, guys, Aisha's also wearing a moon phase shirt, and she didn't even realize.
Perfect timing. Yeah, definitely cyclical. And I think about full moon energy versus new moon energy and feminine energy, intuition.
Yes. Before, it actually wasn't feminine energy whatsoever. All those men, I think, had a lot to do with it. I'm sorry, but whatever. Whenever our culture warped, because the original meanings of this card was lunacy and lunatic and how the moon makes some people crazy and deception and fear and like very like dark versions. But ever since like the 70s with Wicca and paganism and goddess spirituality, I guess, it's more feminine and intuitive, and it's like less of a harsh, it's a misconception, I guess.
Yeah.
So the two dogs I read is to represent wild versus domesticated. So it's like the werewolf and the dog at your house. The two sides of your soul, duality and things like that. But there's so much duality, like, throughout the tarot. When it comes to the moon and the sun, men can be seen as the sun because they're direct and overpowering and just so...
Ego?
Yeah.
The sun is ego?
Yeah, the ego. And the woman is the moon because it's subtle and changeable and we're actually, like, in sync with the moon.
Yeah. I can see that. What are the, like, random flying things coming off of the sun? moon thing?
Okay, so she says it's moon drops, and it's the same symbol as Yod, the flames from the tower.
Mm.
So I don't know. It's just Jesus.
Okay. And the columns in the back, why? They look like towers.
They were, or they are, and it's to... Okay, so she kind of says something about it being, like, this entire time we've seen red and blue, or we've seen white and black, and, like, now it's gray.
Hmm.
But, yeah, so she just says it's we're getting out of the duality of nature, like, okay. The beginning of that. Which, in the sun, not in the Rider-Waite, but in the original, like, the Marseille had two babies, like, two children.
Aww.
One is white and one is black and one's in red and one's in blue and they're like joined again, like getting rid of the duality. So I thought that was cool. Rider-Waite kind of morphed the entire symbolism of the card, but I mean, there it goes from 2 to 1, so to me it still kind of fits.
I love that there's a face on both of the moon and the sun cards because it really kind of shows the embodiment of the energy in human form.
Uh-huh.
It's not like that on my Robin Hood, but it is on my Rider-Waite. I vibe with it.
I love it. I love the sun card. That's like my yes card.
Really?
Yeah. We were going to go camping the other day, and I just did not want to go. We're actually going tomorrow, but I did not want to go. So I was like, I'm going to do a tarot reading, and if it is bad, I'm not going. And I got the sun and the nine of pentacles, and I was like, oh. And then we had a great time.
Wow.
What about if the moon is reversed? What do you think about that?
So I guess the negative connotations to it, the secrecy, the repression of emotions or withholding of them, or like subconscious maybe intentions that you're not aware of that are not so good.
Yeah.
So that's the reversed meaning for me. But when it's upright is when it's more positive connotations of having emotions or sharing them.
Yeah, I kind of feel the exact same way. I also, like, whenever I was looking at it today, I got the sense of, like, a lack of direction.
Hmm. Huh.
But I don't know if that would be with the moon or the star.
The moon's got a path on there.
Yeah, but if it's reversed.
Oh, so not following the path.
Yeah.
I guess I think about it more, so when it's reversed, the way that it looks, going from the top into the bottom, into the water. I could see that it is a direction just going deeper into the dark, away from the light, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's an interesting interpretation.
And then, like, my Gustav Klimt tarot, it's like a girl. It looks like she's in the womb of the universe and she's on a moon. I don't know. This is, like, the weirdest deck. I feel like this deck is just pretty and you just have to already know.
That's how I feel about my Archeon one. It doesn't help.
Yeah, the symbolism is kind of missing.
Yeah.
Especially the sun on this deck. It's like they're hugging and there's like, I don't know. It's too sexual for me for that card.
Hmm. For the sun? Weird.
Yeah. What else? With the moon? I think that's pretty much it for the moon for me.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so the sun. So I think when it's upright, it's clarity because you're like shining a light on something. So you like know. Happiness, it's a big old yes. Like good vibes.
Yeah, all the symbolism points to good, positive vibes. Sunflowers, they're all... Except, why isn't the sun smiling? Maybe it should be. But yeah, little happy baby, like that. Best yoga pose. White horse.
Look at my impression tarot. It's like these two people on a boat with a red sun. It's like so boring. I don't get it.
It's not quite as obvious. Yeah, upright. I definitely think about it as just being all good. Curious about the red flag though.
Yeah, I looked it up. Couldn't find anything about it.
Huh. Well, I always get cult vibes with red, but you know, probably not accurate. Just projection. Maybe it's like a conqueror.
Like victorious.
Yeah.
Celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels right. And it's weird, like there's a white horse, because isn't there the only other white horse is the death card? Death.
Yeah. But this is a little baby.
It's a baby.
So he's happy. And also a conqueror. This is kind of Aries energy, actually.
Aww.
The baby, but also fire.
What about reversed?
That I think of the sun as ego. Because of astrological, that's how I take it. When it's reversed, it is like the negative aspects of too much ego involved in something. But then if I think about it as Aries energy as well, then it could be like stubbornness or a lack of continued motivation, like the inspiration, but then the nothing, it fizzles out and you just stop whatever you're doing.
Oh, that kind of goes with my tarot reading for myself that I sent you. Sun was reversed. And that's me. I can't believe we've done as many episodes as we have because I always just stop doing things. My life is a reverse sun. I have like vanity.
Yeah, I was going to say narcissistic.
Yeah.
Because of the ego thing, but.
Yeah.
Narcissism.
Also like inability to see the good. Like you're just like ungrateful and you're like in a mind, like not like in a bad way, but just like in this mind space where you can't see all the good. And it's like, you've got to like turn that around and like just make a list of all the good things would be my advice if this card came up in like an outcome or something. I've heard the sun is one of the ones that is the same meaning reversed.
I've heard that as well.
I don't know how I feel about
it. Don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because to me, it's like, if someone's asking, how is my marriage? And you get the sun reversed, I'd be like, there's something that's not out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you want to be miserable or you are miserable when you shouldn't be. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I do see it being a blockage of some of that energy, at least, even if it's not as intense as some of the other cards would point to. I definitely think it's, two different things.
Yeah. And the, like, original meaning of this card was just, like, simple, the simple things of life, like a happy marriage or being wealthy and being content and, like, being a home, all the basicness. But I just don't think that aligns with the trajectory of the Fool's journey this far ahead. That would be, like, the Lover's card.
Mm. Yeah, why do you think these cards are placed where they are in the journey itself? The moon first.
I really like that idea about like the liberation of light, with the devil being the black card and then the lightning bolt and the star and the moon and the sun, and it just keeps getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Because isn't judgment next? Opening up your perception to be able to understand, like more knowledge, like with more light.
When I think about like my own life, it makes sense in alignment with this, because I do remember when all of the things that I thought I knew got destroyed, basically, you know, within myself, when that takes place, then you go in and analyze the subconscious and you like get to know yourself on that level. And then all of a sudden you liberate all those aspects of yourself, and then you get to feel. The sun, I feel like, could also be like a law of attraction card.
Yeah.
Like when you actually are empowered to create.
I also think it comes after the moon, because like the moon feels more deep after going through the tower and the star. Like you do have to go in yourself and like
heal.
Yeah, but you also can't stay there. And the sun, it's like you have to come out, because if you just are spiritual your whole life, like that's not the point of why we're here. So I think that's what the sun does. You know all the things.
Appreciation, gratitude for every one of the things, even the bad things. I like that your recommendation is a gratitude list, because I feel like that is totally in alignment with what this energy calls for.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, these are cool.
I've got nothing else to say.
I've got nothing else to say, too. Okay, so I guess we'll talk about, should we do judgment in the world together, or do you want to do that separate? Those cards are...
They're very different.
They are.
I could see how they could go together, but...
I don't see how they go together, but I just don't have...
I could see how they would in the apocalypse playing out, like that trajectory. I could see it, but...
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay. What if, like... The star, the moon, and the sun cards are all actually like the embodied planetary bodies themselves. And so is the world at the end. Like the stars are gaining consciousness right now, and the sun is gaining consciousness, and the moon is gaining consciousness, each within themselves, right before the end of the world.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Like if our souls aren't just, you know, like the earth, Gaia has its energy, it has its own soul. Like if that's what our collective consciousness shift creates for those planetary energies, their own awakening.
I mean, maybe.
And then judgment will be like the actual, like, okay, time to evaluate how we did here on these energies.
Time to evaluate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Me neither.
Speaking of Gaia, I'm pretty sure that if we go back to our Disney idea, Pocahontas would be the empress. Because she is, like, the colors of the wind.
Ah.
Just, she talks to trees and animals and...
Yeah.
We went hiking the other day and literally talked about this for like 15 minutes. Trying to figure out all the things.
Who everybody is.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening to our episode today. Like and subscribe. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please message us on Instagram. I'm not really good at Instagram. I realize that people send us messages and then it doesn't blink up because we're not like friends. So then I'm like, oh my God, I have 6 messages, and I click on it and I'm just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, so I'll eventually see it and I'll try and get better. Cool. See you next week.
Peace out.